The idea of parenting, he said, was in the scripture where it says to bring them up in the nurture and admonition. The nurture part was to cultivate the mind and the morals, I believe is how you had mentioned it. And now we're going to talk about teaching that moral purity. So I think this is the part of the nurturing maybe that he spoke of earlier. This is hopefully God will teach us in ways that how to put shoe leather to that kind of nurturing. So I look forward to hearing more of that. Ben, if you would come forward, we'll pray and then turn the time over to you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you. We come before you as vessels that need instruction and people that need your Holy Spirit to guide us in our endeavors to parent and be godly parents. Mm-hmm. So I ask, Lord, that you use Ben this afternoon to bring God's word and to instruct us. Help us, Lord, to be willing hearers and willing doers. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the session this afternoon. Thank you, Ken, for the delegating some responsibility or authority here. That if it doesn't go well in the seats, we'll have some action. So thank you for that privilege. It's always a blessing when one of the home ministers just gives you the. Whatever you need to do, to do it, like within reason, and I think it was within reason. So I'll keep my eyes on you. You keep your eyes on me. I realize after lunch it's a hard time. The speaker has a big job ahead of him, so I will try to do my part to keep you with me. And if I lose you, I will try to regain you. Okay. So. To begin with, I was inspired by the song that the brother led. We are bound for Canaan land, and specifically thinking about the subject of teaching moral purity in our homes. And I'm not going to read over the whole song. I'm going to pick out the verse or the stanza that we did not sing. Okay, number four. Okay, it reads like this. Can we safely trust a guide who knows not the way? Well, no. You should not trust a guide who does not know the way. But you can trust somebody who does know the way. He goes on to say, God hath traveled every foot. He shall lead today. So keep in mind when we talk about moral purity, sexual purity, God has led the way. In fact, you may have never thought about this, but Jesus, as a human, was once an infant, a young boy. He was 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 7 and 9 and 10 and 14 and 18 and 20 and 25 and 30. And likely, his mother or father instructed him about what was appropriate and what was inappropriate. Because he was in all points tempted like as we are. Okay, so he needed instruction. His parents likely taught him. That's a little bit of a stretch to think down on that level that Jesus was instructed by his parents on this subject. So we've had a good challenge here. Dare to stand like Joshua. Dare to say the word. As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. And particularly in this area of taking the responsibility, because it does take courage. Men that are brave, men that are courageous, this is one subject where they will tend to wilt. When it comes to talking about moral purity with their children. I mean, you think about it. Okay, I'm about a 200, 225 pound man. But to talk to my 60, 70, 80, 90 pound son about this subject, something inside of me just trembles. Why is that? And so I'm saying, we need courage. We need to be like Joshua. We need to be like Daniel. We need to be men who are able to stand up and teach our children the ways of God. And not just Daniel's and Joshua's. I'm saying Mary's and Naomi's and Ruth's, like women of faith in the Old and New Testament, who rose up and taught their children God's ways. And so this applies to both moms and dads, dads and moms. So we've been challenged, like in this, to be like Joshua. Now, how are we going to do it? So this topic is not so much about the challenge. There'll be some of that, but it's more about the what do you actually do? How do you actually do this? Well, to start with, I confess to you, I don't have a good history in this, on this subject. Neither my father nor my mother ever talked to me about sexual things. Nothing. But do you think I learned about sexual things? You bet. And parents, let me remind you, if you don't teach your children, somebody will. They'll pick it up from somewhere. They will. So, take the responsibility, take the opportunity, and teach them. For me, it started at a young age. So in the setting where I was, we had kindergarten. We started kindergarten at 2.5 through 6 years old. And in kindergarten, I still remember starting to explore cross-gender, same, mostly cross-gender. At 2.5 up to about 6 years old. How did I learn? Well, you learn from others. It's in you. Evil is in you. But you also observe what others do and you kind of follow them. So those are a couple ways that I learned. There was no instruction from parents. There was nap time in the dark, in a dark room with both the genders present without adequate oversight. The teacher, the kindergarten marm or lady would put the children in a room. The lights were off, and she departed. That's a no-no for children. You don't do that. It got worse in grade school, years 6 through 14. Again, no parental instruction, but there was peer pressure, the sinful nature expressing itself, games in dark rooms, inadequate oversight, magazines, reading materials, moving from exploring to aggression to being abusive in that time frame. And in teen years, being enslaved to sexual sins. Again, no parental oversight, lots of peer pressure, enslaved to various vices, shame, guilt, cycles of defeat. And finally, making the connection that God is in this. Somehow God is interested in this. And getting a hold of God's grace and God's forgiveness, but not like a rocket science, you know, like getting in a rocket and out of here. No. It was a kind of a going up some stairs where you lift your foot and you put it down again. You go up a stair and down, get up a ways and you slide back. That struggle against sexual sin. Oh, how sweet grace and forgiveness are when you've been caught in something like that for many years. It's not just that. It doesn't cease to amaze me that as I interact with people on a regular basis, where people have been inadequately instructed about moral purity or sexuality. So it's a common problem in interacting with people that are troubled, is the area of sexual immorality or just moral impurity. So what's the biblical foundation for teaching this? Like, where do we get the idea that we should teach this? Well, I read this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 15, Ephesians 6, 4. That's the ground, that's the foundation for teaching our children. And it doesn't matter what the subject, it falls all under that category of teaching your children, and that includes teaching them moral purity. Two reasons that parents should teach their children about sexuality. The first is because God commands it. Parents, it's our responsibility to teach our children because God said we should. The biblical instruction to parents to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord applies to all areas of child training, including moral purity. It is not uncommon for parents to have apprehension and even aversions to talk to their children about this subject. Therefore, too many children learn about the subject from peers, social media, TV, or books. While each of these mediums has something to say about the subject, not one of them is as qualified to teach on it as a parent is, a parent that is equipped. Like I said earlier, your children will learn. The question is, who will they learn from? What will they learn? So the second reason is Christian parents should teach this subject is they should teach it from a biblical perspective. We have to keep in mind that the idea of sex is first God's idea. Now, I realize, talking about this subject, it's a private subject. It's a subject that we don't necessarily exploit or talk about. It can be talked about in very inappropriate ways. But I'm saying just about the subject of sex, it's first God's idea. And we should talk about it in a respectful and honorable way. You can talk about it in a degrading way, but there's a proper way to talk about it. And one of those ways is to talk about it in a respectable, often in a private way. So parents should teach it from a biblical perspective. God's point of view about moral purity is accurate and trustworthy. Teaching and applying God's principles about human sexuality will richly enhance one's relationship with God, the opposite sex, and have lifelong blessing for the recipients. When taught from God's perspective, mercy, grace, and forgiveness are also brought to bear on moral failure. Teaching about moral purity that deviates from God's instruction is often based on deception, leads to immorality, STDs, sexual transmitted diseases, and even physical death. So those are the consequences of disregarding what God has said about this subject. So here's my assumptions about who I'm speaking to. I'm assuming I'm talking to Christian parents that understand that they've been delegated an authority and a responsibility from God. Now here's the challenge. To misuse this authority by sexually using a child for sexual gratification is a grievous sin before God. It's a violation of civil law, not to mention a sin against that child. So you've been delegated a responsibility and authority, but you can seriously misuse that. And I'm saying, parents, if you are in this, if you violated, you need to talk to somebody. Talk to a leader in the church here. Because it tends not to get better. It tends to get worse. And you have to live with that. So if you violated, talk to somebody. Here's what I'd like to do in this session. In the overview. I'd like to divide the subject into three categories. Three broad ages that we're going to talk about. There's the toddlers and the adolescents. They're kind of in one group, teens and young adults, and then adults. And in each of those, identify relevant teaching for that age range. Keep in mind that the age range is fairly broad, so as parents, it will be necessary to educate yourself and observe the physical developments in your child so that you are able to instruct and interact with them at appropriate times. Some children physically develop earlier, some later. Other considerations for teaching about sexuality are their mental development, their exposure to perversion, sexual abuse, etc. Simply stated, these are broad age categories that parents need wisdom when and how to apply. At the end of the session, I will give you a few resources that I have found helpful in this process of actually teaching our children and going through them earlier and even at this point, talking to them about the subject. So, this image, I think, captures some of the idea in talking about the subject. Okay? You're talking about a subject that you don't necessarily have to be afraid about, and even if you are afraid, you need to still do it. You need to talk to your children about this subject. So the idea is proceed with care, be cautious, you need wisdom, you need discernment, but a lot what you need is courage and be assured that the Lord has called you to do this. So here we go. Teaching moral purity. The age of childhood through adolescence. And so when I say a toddler, I'm talking about the ages from about 1 to 3 year old, and an adolescent is up to about 12 years old. First, think about things like teaching basic anatomy and function. Basic anatomy would be things like talking about their private body parts. So think about it this way. For a dad and even a mom, at a young age, she can teach her son and her daughter about this subject. As it gets older, then it should be a father's responsibility to teach his son, the mother's responsibility to teach the daughter. So talk to them about their private body parts. Actually, how those private body parts work. So that can be done during a bath time, during a shower time, when they actually don't have clothes on, where you can explain to them what those body parts are, what they're called. Give appropriate names to what the body parts are. You can show them when they use the bathroom, like the toilet, what their body is for. And that is the function. It's not for something else at this point. You have to explain it to them. It is something that you have to teach your children, that this subject is to be talked about, discussed about, with your parents only. If you have questions, children, you can come talk to me or to mom about this subject. You can tell them the name of the body part at appropriate ages. You can tell them the function of that body part. So at a young age, you don't have to tell them the whole gamut about procreation and how they're made and all of that. But at a young age, keep it basic. Teach them about personal cleanliness and bathroom use. Like when they use the bathroom, how to use it, what their body parts is, wash their hands. Those are basic things that you can teach them. Teach them that bathroom use is limited to showering and toilet use. It's not a place where you go read. It's not a place where you go play games. This room is strictly for that, for taking a shower and for using the toilet. Teach them that door locks on bathrooms and restrooms are appropriate. That when the door is locked, it generally means somebody is in there. If there's nobody in there, you better knock to make sure there's nobody in there before you unlock it. That is appropriate to have locks on bathrooms and bedrooms. Teach children about personal boundaries. Why do children need boundaries? And boundaries is the area of their privacy, like their private body parts. Those are personal, and they should not be violated by no one. Why do children need boundaries? Number one, children are generally ignorant. Many children are ignorant about this area. And so you have to teach them what is proper, propriety. So in senses like that, children may be ignorant. They don't realize that they should not run around without clothes on. Okay, younger children, as soon as they can walk or run, okay, they may not realize some of those things are not appropriate. They may think it funny. You may think it funny. But from God's perspective, it's appropriate to teach children at a young age to be properly clothed, not run around naked. A second reason for personal boundaries is sometimes children are inquisitive, like they have an inordinate interest in exploring. And so children need to be taught there are certain things that you should not explore. Like it's not your business what your sister looks like or what your brother looks like cross-gender. So those are things that you have to teach children. The third one is because children need boundaries because of perverts, meaning people that are perverted. So the first two, the ones when children are ignorant or inquisitive, that may have to do with them personally. The other one has to do with perversion, where other children may be perverted and may want to do things to them or see things for them. So those are a few reasons why boundaries are important. You think of parents, caretakers, and physicians are exceptions to the rule of looking at your private parts. So sometimes when children go to the doctor and you've instructed them, nobody should see that. They don't want the doctor to open their shirt, check something private. So you have to teach your children. Okay, it's the parents, caretakers, maybe somebody that babysits. They can take you to the bathroom. They can give you a bath. But the children know who those people are. So you have to instruct them in that. So what do you teach your children if there's a violation of the boundaries? I think it's appropriate to teach your children what to do when someone violates. If someone wants to do something to them that is inappropriate. I'm not sure what I will have in my notes. Okay, there's personal boundaries. You have that. Still following along there. Am I going too slow, too fast? So we're at B, guidelines for violations. So if somebody tries to do something to them, like they look at them, try to touch them inappropriately, teach your children to say, stop. It is appropriate for parents to teach their children to say stop or no. If it doesn't stop there, increase it. Scream for help. It is appropriate if children are violated for them to scream for help. You should teach your children that. Hopefully they never have to face that. But they know what to do if they're violated. And thirdly, report violations to parents or caretakers. So it may happen that your children are violated when they're with somebody else where it doesn't help to scream, where it doesn't help to say stop or no. Okay? But they need to report to you if something like that ever happens. So one of the challenges for us as parents is to have the courage to communicate to the babysitter, to the caretaker, that there are certain things that are off limits. And you will communicate with your children that after they've been there, you're going to check up on them what they actually did. Hopefully the people that you let your children stay with, those that are taking care of them, they're trustworthy. Okay, but don't just assume that. Check with your children regularly if there's things happening to them that they're not telling you. Those things can happen in church. They can happen in school. They can happen with friends. Don't kid yourself. Talk to your children about these things. Prepare them. Communicate with them. If those things happen, they can talk to you about it. Those are things we'd rather not talk about. But I'm saying we have to, because there's been too many violations and children have had to live with it. So teach your children. Some guidelines for the home, in your home. Children need to be taught to be adequately clothed. So there's night clothes, there's day clothes, but they should be clothed. The only time that they're unclothed is when they're in the bathroom, when they're changing clothes. Those are basically the only times. Secondly, change clothes in private quarters. You don't change clothes out in the living room when somebody else is around. Even children amongst themselves, they should learn, teach them to change clothes privately. And especially as they get older. Another guideline is knock before entering private rooms. So we have a policy. I just remember the other day, I went to I couldn't find my son, so I wasn't sure where he was. He had been around, and then he was gone. And I couldn't find him, so I asked the other son, where is Aaron? He said, well, he's not sure. He went into his room, he thinks. So the door was kind of closed. It was open a little bit. And I wanted to just go in. I thought, no, that's not proper. So I knocked, and I said, Aaron? He said, yeah. I said, can I come in? He said, well, and I started going, and no. It's appropriate to knock and ask, is it okay if I come in? And he was in the process of changing clothes. So if it's inappropriate for the children, then it's inappropriate for the parents as well. So knock before entering private rooms, get permission before you enter. Number four, bedrooms are primarily for sleeping or resting. They are not places where you hang out with your friends, especially for younger children or for teens. It's generally not a good practice to have your children spend time with their friends in your bedroom. I remember growing up, it was not uncommon for two or three teenage ladies to go to the bathroom together. You ever heard anything like that? Now, when I was younger, I thought, this is so strange. You would never see a guy, three guys using the same bathroom. But ladies would tend to do that. Now, maybe they still do that today in this setting. I'm not used to that. But I'm saying it's not a good place for a place to hang out, like for teens or children to hang out in bedrooms. So bedrooms are primarily for sleeping or resting. And the fifth guideline is respect. Respect for other people's privacy. Respect people and respect their privacy. Don't intrude on them. Get permission before you enter. So that relates to adolescents, to children and adolescents. Let's switch over to guidelines for activities for these children. One, an important principle is adult oversight. Adult oversight. You know, there's a lot of times where parents let their children go do things where for hours on end, parents have no idea where their children are or what they're doing. And so I'm saying it's wise for parents, especially of younger children, that either they or they appoint somebody to give oversight, to know what the children are doing and where they are. So adult oversight, appropriate clothes for the occasion or for activities. So for example, girls playing on monkey bars is not a good practice if they're not dressed appropriately. So recently, there was a wedding at a local church, and at this particular church, there's a handrail or a few handrails that go down some steps. And what children now want to do is they like to hang out on those handrails and do some swinging on them. Well, when I got home, our daughter told us, yeah, some of the girls were, and I saw them, but I didn't see this particular incident. I even saw the younger girls kind of swinging around on them, like their legs up over them, holding on with their hands. Well, she said, well, this one girl did, and it was like everything came down, meaning her dress was over her head. And I took it she wasn't appropriately dressed for the occasion. Another example would be mixed swimming or swimming naked for children. So that would be inappropriate. Jumping on a trampoline for girls. They should be adequately clothed for the occasion. Some other guidelines would be avoid exploring private parts. So children are often fall into this where they explore each other. And they call it playing doctor. Okay? You may have experienced that. Okay? Those are things that you have to teach your children that's inappropriate to do. You don't play doctor. Or if you do play doctors, here's the guidelines for it. And again, it's one of those things that children like to explore. Some of them are creative, some are inquisitive, and so parents need to be alert to things like that and teach their children what things to avoid. Avoid particular places, resources, or activities. So it's not uncommon, for example, for on farms where after dinner, where boys may go play in the haymow. And playing in the haymow can be a good activity, but it can be a breeding ground for just a lot of immoral things. And so it's one of those things that children need to be instructed. There are certain places that should be avoided, or there's guidelines for when you are at those places. Avoiding particular resources. So I gather there's a few men here who enjoy hunting. Have you ever taken the time to look through a hunting magazine and how many pages there are, or how many advertisements there are for something like ED? Okay. If it's not education. Okay. Okay, we've had some of those around, like some of those hunting magazines. And one of my boys came to me and said, hey, that magazine is not appropriate. Well, actually, I had breezed through that magazine, and I'd seen it, and it just didn't register. But to him, it registered, because there were certain pictures that were like, this is wrong. And so if you have hunting magazines, Dad, take the responsibility, go through, and pull some pages out if you want to keep the hunting magazine around. Maybe it's just best not to keep the hunting magazine. That's just an example. So hunting magazines, various kinds of magazines. There are certain newspapers that are not appropriate to look at, not appropriate to have in your home. So parents, be alert to things like that. Teens and young adults. Teens and young adults, 12 to 15-year-olds. On this one, I would say, parents, you should have talked to your children about some of the changes that are coming or have already come for them, that have already taken place. So, parents, be alert. You should be thinking from at about 9, 10, 11. You should have talked to them already about some of the things that we talked about. But here you're getting into another stage where you should try to do the talking before it actually happens, where you introduce them, okay, children, here's what's going to happen. I'm not sure when it's going to happen, but it likely will happen. Here are some of the things that are going to take place. So parents, try to do this before it actually happens. So what should they note? Well, here's some physical changes. So this is a little bit more advanced anatomy and function. You can talk to them about their bodily parts and their function and what they're actually for beyond just the basics. So now you're talking about getting into talking about procreation. Okay. Talk to them about the physical changes. There'll be the underarm hair growth. There'll be facial hair. They will get body odor. That's unpleasant. They need to be prepared for that. They need to learn how to clean up. They'll have growth spurts. I told you earlier about a son, one of our boys, and I think in 1 year he grew like 6 inches. So he went from about like this to in 1 year he went to about this, and the next 6 months he took another leap like that. So he's well past me. And he told us the other day, I thought I was done growing, but then the other brother measured him and he had grown another quarter inch. So he's still going. We actually, with him, it's kind of humorous. You can't just go to a regular store to buy clothes. They don't carry those kinds of clothes. You have to go what they call a big and tall. He thinks that in a way it's kind of cool. So teach your children that there's going to be some growth spurts. Usually that's the time when they grow more. There'll be muscle development. There'll be pubic hair, hair in their private areas. There's menstruation for young ladies. There's breast development. Okay, those are the things that mothers and fathers should teach their children at appropriate ages. There'll be emotional changes. There'll be physical changes. There'll be emotional changes. Some of the emotional changes are related to attraction to the opposite sex. Don't make fun of that. If your son or your daughter talks to you about that, be understanding. Guide them through this. Or even tell them beforehand, hey, this may happen. So don't let it scare you. Teach them about thought life. Their ways of thinking may change. And they'll start to think things that are not appropriate to think. And yet they need guidance through it. You'll need to teach them about practicing self-control because they'll have urges and they'll try to satisfy those urges. You have to teach them. You have to teach them about sex and sexual perversions. So there's age-appropriate instruction about proper sexuality. Remember that sexuality is from God first. So the first couple that the Lord made, when he brought them together, he said they were naked and they were not ashamed. That's saying more than just they were physically naked. Okay, there was for sure that, and they were not ashamed. But I'd like to suggest to you, we've come a long ways from Genesis 1 and 2. And so children need to be taught that it's not necessarily wrong in a certain context to be without clothes, but children have to be taught that. That's proper sexuality. But you also have to teach children about sexual perversions, like what is twisted sexuality. And sometimes children have feelings for the same gender. Okay? That can be confusing, but don't let it scare you, parents. If you have that with your children, guide them through it. First, try to understand what they're talking about. And it may not be far out. It's just something that they think about or something that they feel. But it doesn't mean that they are perverted or that they are what they would say a transgender. Okay? Sometimes young people are really confused during that time, and so if they have certain feelings, parents come along and say, oh, they must be like that. It may not be, it's not like that at all. Actually, the scripture teaches that people are male and female, and you have to guide your children through that process if they're confused about that. So there's age-appropriate instruction about proper sexuality, and then there's instruction and warning about sexual sins. So Proverbs 1 through 7 is kind of a good teaching guide for helping young people through this process. And what the warnings are for immorality. So for teens and young adults, is talking about friendship and gender considerations. Friendships with the opposite gender. So first, with the same gender, same-gender relationships, things like same-gender relationships, things like character. So when you think about your son and his friends, what kind of friends does your son have at this age, like as a young adult, a teenager or a young adult? Do his friends influence him? You bet they do. And so it's important for a parent to know what kind of friends he interacts with, what kind of character they have, the values that they have, what are their visions and goals. It's important for parents to know their children's friends, especially of the same gender. You also need to teach your children, as teens and young adults, how to interact with the opposite gender. Sometimes they are, keep me as far away from a girl as you can. Other times it's, I can't get enough. And so children need instruction through that to relate to the opposite gender. So things like purity for both genders. For young men to be servants, learn how to serve ladies. Instead of use them, serve them. Instead of thinking inappropriately about them, here's a proper way to think about a young lady. Or for a young lady to think about a young man. For young men to learn that young men are designed by God to lead. And to help young ladies to understand God designed you to support. So how can you learn these qualities of actually learning to lead and learning to support? And switching over to the next, thinking about the subject of purity for an adult. First, you realize that not all young men get married. Not all ladies that are of age get married. And so there's this time where they are adults, but they don't get married. So what's appropriate? Well, some of the things that both gender face is singlehood, being single. And so during singlehood, they will face things like sexual temptation. So parents, your children need guidance through this time. It can be very confusing. It can be very painful when some of their friends are chosen to start a dating relationship and they are not. They can feel like there's something wrong with them. But this idea of sexual temptation, don't kid yourself, it's prevalent. It's around. And so you have to be able to talk with your children about that. Being single is not a sin. Actually, the Apostle Paul said that being single is advantageous in some ways. But that doesn't necessarily take away the pain or feeling left out of being single. So that usually takes some time and some hard work to actually work through that. So some singles examples would be John the Baptist, Jesus, the Apostle Paul. And those men were free from marital obligations. They're free to expand the kingdom of God at home and abroad. And so there's certain advantages to being single. But it doesn't make it easy. And so I'm saying for parents, you need to guide your children in that as well. Thinking about special relationships. Personally, if a young man or a young woman thinks about a cross-gender relationship, what are some important things to think about or to talk about with your children? Well, first, one of the things that the Scriptures would teach is that if a young man or a young woman thinks about marriage or a special relationship, first things first, the person that you're considering, or even you yourself, first, you need to consider, are you actually a believer? If you're not a believer, you are not a potential mate in the sense that that is proper. You can make a mate for someone, but you're outside of what the Lord wants for you. So first thing is, are you a believer? And if you're not, before you consider marrying someone or showing an interest in someone, you need to understand what your calling is before the Lord first. As a Christian, you should become a believer. A second consideration is your character. So first is being a Christian. Secondly, is your character. So there are many young men and young women who would like to get married, but their character is a distance from where it can be. Like, their character needs to grow and mature before they would actually be ready to be a good spouse. Do they understand the role that they're gonna take? So for example, for our son, one of the things that we've actually talked to him about, I've talked to him about, if you're considering a relationship with a young lady, here's some things you need to consider. First, is this lady a believer? Secondly, what kind of character does she have? Because you're going to marry someone not just for her looks. Those looks will fade. Thirdly, do you understand what your role is? As a young man, when you think about marrying, do you understand what your role is as a husband? And can you learn actually some of those roles now? Like, actually learn to develop them. And the fourth one is, in talking to him about the history, his history of sexuality. Like, if he thinks about starting a dating relationship, he will need the courage to actually at some point talk to his prospective spouse about his sexual history. Why? Because it's an important area for your spouse to know, that you need to talk to her about it, or him. So that's for him personally, for a prospective spouse. Some of the same principles apply. Is she a Christian? Is he a Christian? What is their character like? Sometimes young people think along the lines of, well, is it God's will that I marry this person or this person? And some of those things, I think the Lord says, well, it's up to you. What kind of person, what kind of character would you like to have in this person? Like, what are you actually looking for? So the Lord may have a list of character qualities. Here they are. Those are things to look for in a spouse. But the Lord says, hey, it's up to you. So in some ways, it will depend on your wisdom what to actually look for in a spouse. So it's good to evaluate, what kind of character does this person have? How mature are they? How discerning are they? How self-controlled are they? How much of a servant are they? Those are questions to ask. And does the person, like, okay, this is the opposite gender now, okay? Do they understand their role? Like, first, how do they live in relation to other authorities? Do they have a good relationship with their parents? And if not, why not? So some young people don't have a good relationship with their parents for various reasons. But as a young person, you need to think about things like that, because you're going to closely interact with this individual. And so parents, we need to teach our children those principles. And when you think about a prospective spouse, you have to be willing to ask that question too. Okay, this is not so much telling about your sexual history, but asking about their sexual history. And once you know what they are, okay, you have to evaluate. Because some of us don't have a good history. Just be upfront about it. But once you know it, you have a decision to make. And it's not so much what you've experienced in this realm as what you've actually done about it or what you're doing about it. And so it's not, I've experienced this, so I'm ruined. Or I'm a piece of trash, or I'm used goods. From a biblical perspective, that's not true. But you have to honestly face those things. If you've had experiences that are degrading, or either things that have been done to you, or others that have done, or things that have been done to you, either things you've done or things that people have done to you, you have to honestly face that and be able to face that with your prospective spouse. And parents need to have the wisdom to actually do that, to guide their children to that. It takes a lot of courage, but it's necessary. If you don't do that up front, you're going to have some baggage later on that you will have to uncover and deal with at that point. So in conclusion, the task of teaching children about sexuality and moral purity is an important responsibility delegated to parents by God. Parents have the opportunity to teach this subject from an early age and keep the conversation going through each stage of development. You notice you start, and it keeps going, and it keeps building, and it keeps building. And I would say, for us, for my wife and I, we would have started. Okay? Our children are, let's say, over there is when they get married. We're maybe about over here somewhere. We're not quite sure where we are. But somewhere along the way, we actually talk about these things. We're right in the middle of it. So my wife talks to my daughter about some things. I talk to our sons about things. And at different stages. Okay, so we've started the process. And we're continuing the process. So there's things that we've never done. And some of those things seem scary. But it seems like the more you do it, the further you get, all of a sudden, it's not so scary anymore. You know how you get some things under your belt, and it doesn't destroy you, or it doesn't leave you hanging. Oh, you may sometimes have some egg on your face because you didn't do a good job of explaining something, and the child comes back and said, "Now, what was that? I don't understand that." Yeah, I could have said that very differently. Let me try again. Or, you mean I didn't talk to you about that? So here, about two weeks ago, I sat down with my son, and we meet once a week just to, if there's any questions he has, or if there's things that I'd like to talk to him about, that we have that time. And so that particular morning, he looked at me and he said, "Well, I have a question." And, okay. So what is the question? And it was in relation to something like this. And I thought to myself, man, I can't believe that I didn't talk to you about it. And I thought, man, it's kind of a little bit late to talk about this now. And he had heard a word at a youth meeting. The word was masturbation. And so he had a question about it. And the person that was talking about it, I guess it was a mixed group. No, it was a segregated group. So he didn't expand on what it actually was. So he asked me, what does that mean? So I said, well, that's a very good question. And so I explained it to him. He said, well, he thought that's what it was, but he just wasn't sure. Okay, I'm saying that's worth a lot. If your son or your daughter, they come across something and they can ask you about it. And where you as a parent are not overwhelmed by it or not scared of it. I'm saying even if you're scared, persevere. If you don't know, ask some older brother, ask some older sister, or ask a peer, like someone that's about your age. It doesn't matter. They may be able to help you out. So it is a subject that can leave you shaking. But I'm saying as you do it, it gets easier. Our children will learn about human sexuality. So why not give them the information from the one who created sex in the first place? Being created a sexual being is part of God's good creation. It is a special part of his plan so that his people can enjoy all that God intended for them, and by walking in his ways, bring glory to his name. Thank you for your time.